Every day, it seems we are inundated with promises. Many of them come via television, radio, internet. Companies promise us that if we will use their product, our lives will be vastly improved and may even take us to a whole new level of existence. And we're encouraged to talk to your doctor to see if this particular medicine is right for you. Or if you use this household cleaner, your home will sparkle and shine and smell like a mountain meadow. I don't know if you've ever smelled a mountain meadow, but I don't know if that's really what you want. Or if you put this gasoline in your car, your engine will practically rebuild itself. Or your spouse, a little closer to home, says, "This is the day I'll finally fix that thing that's been needed to be fixed for a while." Or your teen says, "Yes, this is the day I will clean my room." And you keep waiting, and you're waiting, and you hear these promises, and you hear these words. And one of the things you begin to figure out as you go along is that talk is cheap. Action is king. Pay attention to what people are doing. And as people of faith, as followers of Jesus, we need to recognize in our own lives, talk is cheap. It's easy for us to say a lot of the things that we say that we believe, but do we live out what we believe? And that's the lesson that James wants us to learn. And as we're working through this first chapter, we need to remember he's given us kind of a preface. It's kind of an overview of what he's going to go into more in depth with. But in order for us to get there, there's a few things we need to do. And one of those things he needs us to recognize and wants us to recognize is that action is key. So how do we get there? Well, first, we need to practice active living. Take a look at verses 19 down through 21. "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." So he's telling us here to make sure we practice active listening. I'm sure you've seen one of these before, your basic megaphone, and we use a megaphone and we speak into it and it makes our words louder. But you know that if you move it from your mouth to your ear, you can actually hear better as well. And one of the things that we need to learn how to do, he's telling us, is to focus less on speaking and making sure we're heard and focus more on listening. Well, what are we listening for? Well, we're listening for God to speak to us when we read his word. Sometimes we have to have the talk. Your spouse says, "We have to talk about a few things." Or your employer says, "We need to do your performance review." Or your parents say, "We need to have a conversation about your attitude and your behavior." And rarely does anyone respond when they get that invitation, "Okay, sure, I look forward to that." No, we go in knowing somebody is going to tell us some things we probably don't want to hear. And as they're sharing those things with us, we need to keep a few things in mind. One is they wouldn't be having the conversation or asking for the conversation if they didn't care about us. The time to be really afraid in a relationship, whether it's at home or at work or elsewhere, is when the other person goes silent. If they stop telling you things they've been trying to tell you, that's when you need to get worried, because often what that means is they've stopped caring. But as long as someone is trying to talk to you about something, that means they care. And they care enough to engage you and to call you to another place, to some new behavior, some new attitude, some new words. So what do we do when someone says some things that we need to hear but don't want to hear? What's going to be our reaction? Well, our typical reaction is oftentimes to get into a defensive posture. And you know that you've probably been there when you've had the moment if someone is telling you some things you just don't really want to hear. And you get a little angry. You can feel your face getting hot and flush. You can feel your heartbeat starting to race a little bit. You can feel your muscles starting to tense up. You feel that certain feeling, that clenching in your stomach. And what that's about is your body is getting ready for a fight or flight moment. And I'm either going to fight you or I'm going to get out of there. And you know typically what you are in those moments. When you're in the middle of a conflict, you're in the middle of a hard conversation, you're either a fighter, you're going to come back hard. You want to talk about me? Well, let's talk about you. Or you're someone who says, you just shut down and you get out of there just as soon as you can. But James is telling us to respond differently. He's telling us to listen. Not to shout back, but to listen. And if it's God's word that's speaking to us, we need to listen hard. We need to listen well to what he has to say. So rather than getting into this defensive posture, we need to recognize that the goal of this conversation, well, first off, is transformation. God wants to transform us. But rather than getting hostile, what we need to do is receive the word with humility rather than with anger. And we know what it's like to have a human being talk to us, but we can have this same kind of problem when we read something in God's word that we don't want to hear. Maybe we're going to be told, there's something you need to start doing, but you don't want to do it. There's something you need to stop doing, but you don't want to stop doing it. And so you get angry and defensive instead of leaning in and listening. So James is telling us to be quick to hear and slow to speak. Now here's just a simple way for you to remind her. You don't always need a megaphone. You can just put your hand and cup your ear to try to do this. Maybe you've done that before. So let's all practice it together. And let's say, quick to hear, slow to speak. Yes, you were practicing the slow to speak part, weren't you? Yeah, so listen. When you break open God's word, listen. Now, you and I know we're not listening for an audible voice. We're reading for a message from God that we can apply to our situations and our lives right now. So receive that. And notice he says this implanted word. Maybe you remember as a child, back when they had milk cartons, and you know, you'd open them up and you get a little kind of a little box there, and then you put some soil in. And then somebody give you a seed, and you'd stick the seed down in there, and you'd water it, and you'd wait, and you'd water it, and you'd wait, and you'd water it, and you'd wait. And then one day, you finally saw a little sprout pop up, and that plant beginning to shoot up out of the ground. And what did you want out of it? You wanted eventually the fruit of that plant. And that's what we're after, is for the fruit of the Spirit, love, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness. That's what we want to see in our life, and that's what God wants for you to see in your life. So listen to what he has to say. And if you don't like it, listen a little better. Now, here's the next thing we do. Take a look at verses 22 to 25. It says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty," talking about the gospel, "and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." So what's he telling us here? First, we need to make sure we're practicing active listening, but now we also need to act on that which we hear. We've got a mirror over here, and you can use a mirror for a number of different things. They become decorative items. Sometimes they can make things just kind of a room feel larger. My mom's condo, one whole wall was a mirror because it was a smaller space, but it seemed twice as big when you were in there because of a mirror. But the main object of a mirror is for you to take a look and see how you're doing. And if you're first thing in the morning and you've had your cup of coffee and you're brave and you go in there and you look and you go, "Oh my." You know, you've got some serious bedhead going on, and maybe the bags are a little under your eye and you're feeling a little puffy, and you smile and you go, "How did I miss that stuff in my teeth when I brushed last night?" And "Oh, I didn't brush last night." And you look at all those things, and then what do? Well, you're supposed to fix them. Supposed to comb the hair. Supposed to shave. Or maybe you're a lady, you're like, you want to wear makeup. And you do those things that you're thinking to do. You brush your teeth. And you take care of what you see. And you make the changes you need to. But so often, the Bible tells us, what James is telling us, is that when it comes to God's word, we can be like a person who looks in the mirror, who sees everything that's out of line, things that need attended to, and ignores it. So there's a couple of things we need to do here. First off, we don't want to just glance at the word, but we want to focus. Focus, don't just glance. Any of us can just kind of walk by a mirror and just not really notice anything. So when it comes to God's word, read deep. So often we're trying to think of how much can I read in a certain period of time, and we're trying to cover this distance. Instead of taking some time, let me focus deeply on what God's word has to say. It won't make any difference if you read through the Bible in a year and you don't remember any of it, or you never thought about how it might apply to your life today. So don't just glance at the word of God. Focus on the word of God. But then when you see something you're supposed to do, obey. If it's calling you to obey, obey. Don't ignore it. That's not easy. Jesus himself said, you know, the spirit can be willing, but the flesh can be weak. But we need to have an attitude that says, when I see something in God's word that I'm called to do or called not to do, I need to obey what he has to say. This is one of the reasons why we need to understand that followers of Jesus need groups of people to interact with. And it's not just enough for a larger congregation, because, you know, congregational meeting, we can come in here, we can say hi, we can shake a few hands, and we can walk out of here never having the kind of conversations we need to have, never receiving the kind of encouragement we need to have or the challenge we need to receive. That's why I want to encourage you to be thinking about being a part of a smaller group of people. Whether it's a small group of 8 to 10, but also be a small group of 2 to 3, 4 people that talk about what you're reading in God's word and how it can apply to your life. There have been many moments, guys, maybe you've had some of these things. You've put on your clothes for the day and you started heading for the door and your wife says, "Where are you going?" "Going out, going to work, going to dress like that." No, no, you're not. You're not in those colors. That all makes matches and everything. You've known. We got to take care of you. Or if you're a suit and tie person, you got to get the tie fixed. Or you just make sure if it's supposed to be tucked in, you're tucked in. If it's supposed to be untucked, you're all untucked. Things are zipped. Laces are tied. You're ready to go. And sometimes you need that outer voice to speak to you and say, things are not quite what you're seeing. And you need to pay attention. I've needed that in my life. Along the way in my journey of faith, people who would point out things to me that I needed to hear, reinforcing God's word to me. And if you want to be a follower of Jesus, if you want to continue to grow in your faith, you need someone like that as well. And it doesn't happen overnight. And that's why it takes some time to get to build those relationships of smaller groups of people where you can earn the right to be heard and find someone you're willing to listen to as well. A number of years ago, we were down in Florida on a vacation, and two of the girls and I went to SeaWorld. The other, Angie and the other daughter didn't want to go, so we went. We were having a great time. When part of it, we went to the killer whale show. And at that time, they had a thing where they had this really big whale. They said that was going to come out and it was going to splash people. And if you were in rows, whatever it was, you know, these first set of rows, you were going to get wet. And they made that announcement over and over. If you sit here, you're going to get wet. And we weren't in that section, but the girls were like, please, can we go down? We want to go down there and get wet. I said, well, you can go, but you will get wet. We don't care. We want to go down there. You will get wet. We don't care. We want to go down there. You will get wet. We don't care. We want to go. Okay, down you go. What happens? Here comes the whale, splashing 50-degree water that's been treated kind of like salt water, and it comes up and splash, a practical immersion experience. Just was there gleeful giddiness? Yay, we got wet. No, it was, oh, we got wet. You were warned. You were warned what was going to happen. And so often when we look into God's word and we read it and we see those things and we think, we downplay the consequences. It won't happen to me. Or it won't be that bad. Whatever God's word warns me to do, it won't be that bad. Or the blessings won't be that great. We downplay it. Don't downplay it. Listen to what God has to say and then put it into action, into your life. Let's go a little bit further here. Let's look at verses 26 through the end of the chapter. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. We're called to practice active living or listening, and then to act on what we hear. And as we do all this, what we're doing is we're called to give weight to our faith. Anyone can say, I believe this. But words can be hollow. Words can be meaningless if they're not backed up with practice. And so that's why we have to give some weight to our proclamation, to our confession of faith. And he tells us three different things here to do. One of those is to guard our tongues. Now, this is so important. We're going to spend a whole other message on it because he spends a whole chapter talking about our tongues and our speech and our words. But it's enough for us right now just to remember we need to be slow to speak and quick to listen. Another thing, though, he does tell us in this is to be present with the struggling. Notice he used the word to visit the orphans and the widows. And they can represent to us all sorts of different people who are in a need. Sometimes the need is emotional. Sometimes people are going through a situation. It's a painful time. You know, when someone's in a season of grief, we often don't know what to say, so we don't say anything at all, and so we keep ourselves away instead of stepping into the moment and being present with them, knowing that all we really need to say is, I love you, I care. But just to be there. There's a way for us to begin to kind of think about how we can put this into practice. And one of the things I want you to be thinking about is our back-to-school bash. Now, we do a number of these types of events and things that we do over the year where we try to get everybody in. We don't do it just for the sake of doing it. We do it, one, to meet a need, but two, we do it so we have an opportunity to put our faith, our confession, into practice. And so this year, on August 4th, we're going to have our back-to-school bash, and you've heard several announcements about it. There's a reminder, there'll be an opportunity to donate on your way out. There'll be a young, innocent-looking child who will look at you with kitten-like eyes for a donation. Well, let me encourage you. It's very easy just to give and not be present. Go back to that word, to visit, to be near. So let me tell you a few things that we want to focus on in our back-to-school bash. One of the things we want to push back in on the idea of this, that we can have of giving to the needy, giving to the poor. What we want to do, folks, is not so much do a handout, but offer up a handshake. We want to know, our community to know, that this is a place that cares about them, not just about ourselves. And so we just simply want to offer up an opportunity of fun. There's going to be food. There's going to be games. And by the way, there will be backpacks and school supplies, socks and underwear, which we could still use more of. Any number of things out there. And if people need them, encourage them to take them. And one of the things I just really also want to keep in mind is, again, this is not just for the quote-unquote the needy. Because what that can do is bring in this idea of condescension. Oh, do you need this? Let me help you. Rather, we need to see ourselves as neighbors. And neighbors help each other along the way. Life can be hard. I don't know if you remember. Some of you may have kind of gotten to a season you've kind of forgotten. But I remember trying to get three girls ready for school at the end of summer. Angie didn't work through that time because she worked for a school. She didn't have a year-round check. And summers were always tight for us. And we had to buy clothes, shoes. We had to get school supplies. We had to do textbook rental fees. All this stuff that we had to come up with. You know, I would consider myself a middle-income person. I remember it was a challenge. And so we just want to say we're here to help you with that challenge. If you need extra help, we'll give you extra help. You need just a little help, we'll give you just a little help. But we're here as your neighbors to love you, not to look down, not to say, look what we're doing for you, but to, as I said, to put a hand out, to shake and say, hi. We want to get to know you. We also need to push back a little bit on this idea that we can bring, and we want to make sure that we are offering up grace, and it's a no-judgment zone. So oftentimes we hear ourselves say these words, well, do they really need it? I don't know. I'm not going to be the donation police. Do you want to be the donation police? Are there some people who will take advantage of a system? Sure. But a lot of people just can always use it. Something in a moment in a season of life where they could use a little extra help with something. And back to school is one of those seasons where a lot of people, lower income, middle income, doesn't matter, where a lot of people could just use that little extra something to get them through. We want to make sure and remind ourselves to be full of grace and truth in dealing with people, because that's how Jesus came to us, full of grace and truth. And so we want to be those people. We only earn the right to speak truth when we've also led with grace. I heard someone say something very powerful: lead with grace, land with truth. Do we all need to be transformed? We do. Does our community at large need to be transformed? It does. Are people, I believe, you know, a lot of folks are missing out on heaven. And we want to make that bridge. And however we can build that bridge, we want to do it. But we won't do it if we're looking down. But we can do it if we're looking eye to eye. But we also can't do it if we're not present. So if you're free on the 4th, there's a blue sheet in your outline or your bulletin. You fill that out and let us know how you can help, how you could be a part of that day. There are a number of different things that we can do. And even if you don't do anything, just come and just be here and make connection and reach out and talk to people. Because in this way that we begin to really, really be the thing that we're called to be, which is a distinctive force in our community. We want to remember, and we want to keep. This is the third thing James says in this passage, to make our, keep our distinction. Now, that also means things like staying away from sexual immorality and greed and lying and those things. But it also means being what he called us to be, which is salt and light. We want to be salt and light. I think it's a beautiful thing that we sit up here on a hill. And a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And a light that's shining on a hill is not easily quenched. But we can quench it ourselves. We can cover it ourselves. We can put a bowl over it. We can lose our own flavor or our own saltiness. But God has planted us here for a reason. We are in Ellettsville for a reason. And that is to love Ellettsville with the good news of Jesus Christ. And being a salt and light for this community. I have a prayer I'd like you to think about praying. I mean, if you've already got your prayers set and how you do things, you can just ignore this. But if you're kind of new to learning how to pray regularly, here's a prayer you could pray each day this week. Let's just pray it together. It'll be up on the board for you. It's this: Father, whatever I do in word or deed, help me to do it in the name of Jesus, giving thanks for the opportunities to draw close to you by drawing close to those struggling in this life. We need to listen. We need to listen more than we speak. When we read God's word, we need to pay attention to what we see and need to act on it. And we need to learn people who share, who help, who serve, who make a difference in the lives of others. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. We'll do something a little different. In the middle of the song, we're going to go quiet. Troy's just going to play a little bit. And I just encourage you, use that time to listen. To listen. Let the Spirit speak to you through His Word. If you have your Bibles, take a look at this passage and just read it again. But just listen. Close your eyes. Do whatever you need to do. But just reflect on what God wants to say to you today, being prepared to act on it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to jump into your word and to see some things that we need to see and to hear some things we need to hear. Help us, Father, to pay attention. And then give us the grace to act on what we hear. to be people of faith who don't just talk about doing good, but who just do it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.